Amen. 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 That is fantastic. Man. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Fad Vong, and I am encouraged. I am inspired. Shouldn't Scott lead more songs? Yes. Amen. But again, welcome to our Sunday service. And it's great to, it's great to worship together. It's great to sing songs together. Thank you so much to Christian and Janelle to bringing us to the cross with some of their just very heartfelt thoughts. We appreciate that a ton. You know, today we're going to be talking about God's small beginnings and big promises. That's the title of what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to continue looking at Jesus in action, studying out Mark and looking at the life of Jesus and his ministry. And so let's turn there to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verse 30 through 34. But before we do that, let's bow our heads in order of prayer before we dig into this chunk of text here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful, God, for the chance again to worship, to sing songs to you, God, to connect to you in a way that sometimes words can't express, God. Sometimes song and movement, God, help us to connect to you in a way that's so different. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for the way that we get to connect to you through the family, through hugs, through warm smiles, God, through the warmth of others, Lord, when we're feeling our temperature change or drop, God, a little bit. God, thank you so much for the family. Thank you for the body here. And thank you for your word, God, that guides and directs us. I pray right now for us, because I know your word never needs extra help, God. It is powerful. It is mighty. But I pray, God, for our hearts to be soft. I pray for us to hear your message. And I pray that it stirs us and moves us, God, to act and to live in a way, God, that will bring us the blessings that you've been dying, God, literally dying to bring to us. We love you. We thank you so much for this time. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's read in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 34. It says, again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. You know, this is a brief parable that Jesus shares, and if you've been following along in Mark chapter 4, this is the third in the string of three parables that all talk about a seed, that all talk about growth and growing. You know, and I think as we listen to this message, again, the title we're looking at is God's small beginnings and his big promises, and you can already see where we're the ideas that God is trying to communicate in this passage. But it's a simple idea I want us to go away with. If there's nothing else you leave with today, I want you to remember that God is working in ways that we cannot see, or oftentimes that is difficult to see. Yet when we trust his plan, God produces a result far beyond what we can imagine. Right? That's the idea we're going to look at in this passage. You know, and as we look at this, this passage, and we consider the mustard seed. Some of us may have mixed understanding of what a mustard seed is, and you know. But as the Israelites would have heard it, they would have remembered and realized the size of a mustard seed. And some of you may have had the opportunity to handle a mustard seed and understand how small a mustard seed really is, right? And I think, you know, this is again just to emphasize how small this thing is. You can fit about. You know, this is the comparison of a mustard seed to a penny. You can fit roughly 36 mustard seeds on the face of a penny. Right? They're pretty small. You can probably fit even more. You can kind of move those little dots around, right? And so this kind of just helps us to understand what we're looking at, what we're talking about. Mustard seed, it's tiny. But I don't think we're familiar with what a mustard seed really produces. This is what a mustard seed looks like in a field of mustard, right? I think this passage hits people on a number of different levels, particularly for those who are listening in that day and age, right? We got to think about the context of how they heard this. It can't mean what it didn't mean back then, at the least and at the most, right? And so when you look at it, the farmers and the people who are familiar with this crop and this plant would have remembered, and they would have realized what mustard's like. And if you're not familiar, mustard grows a lot like grain. It grows a lot like corn. In one season, it can grow actually taller than 9 feet, right? So that tiny little seed can grow 9 feet in just a matter of a few months. So, of course, the farmers and the people familiar with growing their own crop of mustard, you can actually grow your own mustard. You can eat the greens, and you can harvest the seeds that grow in little pods. And when the stalk is dry, you cut it down, you shake the pods, you thresh it just like grain, you get the seeds out, and you can crush it into powder, you can press it into oil. And so the farmer and the agrarian, the utilitarian will look at it and be like, oh, yes, I connect to this. It's this tiny thing, and yet it produces so much. Right? It's this little thing, and yet so many great things can come from it. And immediately the people will be like, oh man, that's a powerful analogy for a mustard seed in the kingdom of God. But with some slight, just clever wording shifts, right? A little bit of hyperbole, Jesus throws in there, oh, it's the largest of all plants. And the NIV has changed it to a plant, but originally a more direct translation would have been like, it's a great tree. Right, and it's not that Jesus was biologically or in terms of his biology knowledge inaccurate, but he shifted things a little bit into hyperbole, right? Like, oh, this plant grows into a tree, it grows massive, right? And immediately the religious would have heard a different lesson. The religious would have heard, oh, this is a tree with great branches that birds can perch in it and find rest. Well, that reminds me of Daniel's prophecy. That reminds me of Ezekiel's prophecy. Of kingdoms that are grand and huge and powerful and mighty and fearful. But yet, in these prophecies, there are always prophecies about great kingdoms that will be destroyed and taken away. And so the religious would have to think, well, now he's using this parable to describe the kingdom of God. And clearly, this kingdom will never fall. So we're talking about a kingdom that will replace all kingdoms. We're talking about a mighty kingdom that is unlike any other kingdom. That will transform the world around it, that will affect even the birds, right, and give them rest. And the religious would have thought, wow, that's powerful to think. The kingdom of God is that incredible. It's a kingdom that replaces kingdoms. You know, but it's interesting, regardless of the significance, the issue remains. You know, here's a picture of another gentleman showing us, you know, here's someone who's about 6 feet raising his arms and he can't touch the top of the highest mustard plant. No, but despite the significance of what it meant to the common man or the educated religious philosopher, we run into a simple problem. You know, God's vision in his kingdom starts small. For them, and I think also for us, we don't like small things, right? How many times is somebody divvying out dinner and you're like, give me the smallest portion, right? We're cutting pieces of cake. It's like, I want the smallest piece you can cut me. Right? That's not who we are. And if it's the smallest weapon, what do we, man, get our planet from invaders from another universe. We don't pick the smallest weapon. What do we, man, give me the cannon. Give me the largest, most intimidating weapon. Man, we want to do it big. We want to do it bad. That's how we are, right? We don't like small. When I think when God gives us small things, this is how we respond. And God gives us small things, we're like, and at best, we're like this. What? You have got to be kidding me. What is this? What is this tiny thing? You know, and I think when we receive small things, when we're part of small beginnings, I think we feel cheated. We feel like, what's happening here? Is this what God's bringing to us? And we can doubt. We have questions, right? It's not what I expected. So we're going to talk about that, God's small beginnings and his big promises. You know, a reminder that God is working in ways that can be difficult to see, yet when we trust his plan, God produces a result far beyond what we can imagine. The first thing I want us to talk about and to consider is we need to brave small beginnings. We got to be a people that brave small beginnings. You know, this might be, and it might date me, but this is a movie about being small and being big. Right? This is Tom Hanks. This is an 80s classic. Big. It's about this boy, right, who's tired of being pushed around, who's tired of being unnoticed. He runs into some weird carnival game thing, right? So when you're at the carnivals, guys, be careful. Careful what you wish for, right? And he wishes that he were big. That's all he wishes. I wish I were big. course, we know as part of that movie, he wakes up the next morning a full-grown man, right? Freaks out his mom, all sorts of stuff. Watch the movie. It's fantastic. I haven't watched it in years. If it's inappropriate, I'm so sorry. You know, but one of the things you find out in this movie is that he finds out that being big, being older, being mature is a lot more overrated than he thought. And he realized, oh my goodness, I don't have what it takes actually to be big. Right? And he realizes, man, I'm missing so much. I'm missing my childhood. It's not what I thought it was. And he learns, I think, through this story, sometimes I draw too much out of movies. They're not biblical scriptures after all. But I think the idea of small beginnings is that they teach us how to grow and handle big successes. I think so often we want glory. We want power. Right? But we receive these things too quick and we don't know how to take care of these things. We don't know what to do with them. We don't know how to handle them. I think God starts us with small beginnings. You know, and here as he was telling this parable, he was starting a kingdom that would take over the world. Right? But he started it with just a few people. You know, Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11, as I was studying this out, I found some ideas that captured, I felt like, what this parable is talking about. And Isaiah 55, verse 8, it starts off, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." You know, God's word, his plan is achieving a purpose, but it's achieving a purpose. He sends it out, and then it has to grow, then it has to work. You've got to trust. You've got to follow it. All right, God's plan, his word, is achieving a purpose better than we can imagine. And his kingdom is compared to a seed here. How does he bring the seed to you? How does God deliver his kingdom? His kingdom, which is often, when we talk about the kingdom of God, is often interchangeable with the authority of God or the rule of God, right? So how does God deliver his authority or his rule into your life? You know, what are some of these small things? I think sometimes God works through just a few relationships. He works through spiritual people, right? Because at the end of the day, Isaiah's prophecy is about his word that was delivered even in that moment through Isaiah. And they had to listen to one man carry his message. I think sometimes there are small things, like what we're learning about grief. There are small moments, whether we're responding to someone's grief, and man, you don't think that that small thing is inconsequential. It's a mighty thing that God can use. That oftentimes we can look at. And how do we treat small things? We can scoff at them. We can laugh at them. We can underestimate them, right? Story of my life, little guy. But God can do mighty things with small beginnings. You know, I think sometimes transitions, they're significant, but oftentimes we forget how important, how powerful a transition is. You remember it, though, when you have to move from one house to another, right? Transitions are hard. I've learned to call them introductions. I'm in introduction right now to a new stage of my life. And there are challenges. God works through some of these small things, small beginnings. There are many small seeds about the kingdom of God, but I think one that strikes my attention as I was considering this is the seed of discipling. You know, like God's kingdom, right? How does God bring his power, his authority into your life? Oftentimes, it's through one person, a small group of people, right? How many of us ended here because someone said, "Hey, I want you to come hear about something amazing that has changed my life"? How many of us were brought here because, man, hey, I want you to read God's this word, this text, the Bible. I want to show you how amazing it is. How many of us are here because at some point along the way in our past or in our parents' past, somebody invited you out and brought you to this family, right? And the seed of discipling is a powerful thing, and it makes sense because it's a real small part of the kingdom, but it introduces you to the glory and the power of the kingdom of God through discipling. Discipling is a seed I want us to think about and consider today. You know, and if you may not call it discipling, or maybe it's just the idea of influence, or the idea of one another relationships. A lot of times we can discount the person that walks by us or mentions something to us, asks us to study the Bible, or you know what, points at something. Hey, you know what, I see something. I want to show you what God says about this. And if we're not careful, we can discount the Word of God, the seed, that small little moment right there. Discipling is like the mustard seed, and it brings in something greater. But are we respecting that seed of discipling, the seed of one another relationships, the seed of this, that terrible word, influence, right? I don't want to be influenced. I don't want to be swayed by you, right? But isn't that how God works? Isn't that how God grows that wonderful, amazing harvest that towers over us and provides shelter and shade and transformation? Man, do we respect that small thing that could do incredibly more than we can imagine? And do we realize that it is God who scatters these relationships? It is God that brings this influence into your life. How are you treating God's mustard seed? Do you see the purpose that God has for it? You know, even on the other side, in building one another relationships, sometimes we think we see something and it burns in our hearts. Or maybe it catches our attention. We notice a detail, maybe something small about somebody. And we're like, oh man. But we don't say anything. We don't do anything. Maybe we're in the grocery line and we see just a God's word to somebody. I don't want to put myself out there. And we don't take that moment to bring God's word to somebody by a small deed in our lives. By a kind word. Influence. One another relationships. How are we treating it? I think this is the small seed that I want us to think about. There are many small seeds, and maybe you're thinking of different small moments in your life that you need to respect more, and you need to have a vision for in your life. But man, the seed of one another relationships is so powerful because it connects you to the great power of His family, of His kingdom, of His people. And God is bringing it through people in your life. God has purpose and vision. The word you speak matters. And I know sometimes we can think, well, who am I? I am just a mustard seed. But that's all God needs. A lot of times we can think, well, I don't know enough. Well, what you have is exactly what God needs. Because we forget that God has more in plan. He has more under His, you know, in His tool bag than what we have. Right? Like Isaiah reminds us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And you think, well, all I have is this observation. All I have is, you know, this 1 hour I can meet with this person this week. How can that 1 hour affect me or change my life? God's like, I can use that. All you got is an hour. You know what? All you got is 30 minutes. Hey, you know what? All you got is 10 minutes on the phone. I can use that. God can do something powerful. Do you see God or do you see just your limitations? You know, we have a great honor in this church with incredible worship leaders. I was just saw Scott just steps up singing songs, right? But I love so much how much God has blessed us with you musicians here in the church. You know, I appreciate Winston and how he inspires me to use my gifts and my talents. And I remember him asking me to play songs, for the first time. And I'm like, Winston, I don't know. I'm not like you guys. You know, I can't do what you guys do. You know, but Winston, I can't remember the time he said this or the time it happened. But I remember playing a song in the wrong key. You know, and I just remember, you know, different people just looking at me, and I'm like, oh, I just got to go with it, because all I can play is the notes sitting in front of me right now. You know, but Winston's talented enough that I can play in any key I want, and he's like, I got you, and he will change his key and play with me. And the instant Winston changes that background music with the piano behind me, all the singers, they know what they're doing now. Right? It's amazing. And Winston kind of demonstrates this principle. You know what? I can use that. I got that. I can do that. Just keep playing. Right? The same way, I appreciate Vinny. Man, it has a rhythm. Right? He plays his drums. And I remember playing and not getting the rhythm, not on the right downbeat or whatever. And I remember Vinny saying something like, I'll find you. Just keep going. And he finds the rhythm. And then once he finds the rhythm, I'm listening to him now. And then I'm changing my rhythm and following him. I'm like, man. I sound incredible. It's great. Right? But God can use these things because you know what? God is amazing. And He takes what little bit that you offer and makes it amazing. But you know what happens with the seed in your hand? Nothing. As mighty, as great as that seed can be, as tall as it can grow, you put that seed in a jar, you put it in your pocket, and nothing will happen. Are we taking that seed? We recognize the power that's inside of your life, your influence. Do you realize the power of influence? Are you allowing influence to affect your life? Or when the seed comes, you just brush it away? We've got to be people who recognize the seed that God brings into our life. Let's be a people who brave the small beginnings. Because at the end of the day, relationships, they matter, but they got to start somewhere. A lot of us have a trouble. It's like, well, I don't want to fake it till I make it, right? You heard that before. But I tell you what, new relationships are mostly fake. Man, be honest. How often do you meet someone's like, we're best friends right now. I know everything about you. That's creepy. There's something wrong with that. Be honest, right? Relationships got to start small. We got to brave the small beginnings, right? You got to brave walking up. Hey, man, what's your name? I've got to brave small beginnings about 100 times because I can't remember people's names. I'm so sorry. I'm like, hey, what's your name again? Bro, we met like last week. It's great to see you again. We got to brave the small beginnings. We got to brave the awkward beginnings, which are also small in another kind of way, right? And I appreciate Faye braving small beginnings. Our beginnings are not pretty, but she was bold. She was brave. Man, something powerful and amazing came from it. We got to brave the small beginnings. Amen. God has vision. Your word matters. Those moments matter. Your discipling times matter. Your time sitting down, studying the Bible with people, they matter. I appreciate the people who come time and time again and say, you know, I don't get it, but yet they come again. Those times, they matter, and God is building something incredible. Don't give up. If you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling like, man, I'm reading God's word, and one moment, one small thing, it's not happening. Trust in God's plan. It will grow. Let's brave the small beginnings. Let's brave those small discipling times, those tough corrections, right? Let's brave those passing challenges as people go by and challenge our lives and call us higher. But we need these relationships to grow in what God has in store, because God has big promises for us. His plan is achieving for us far more than what we could possibly imagine. And just to wrap up, our last point here, I want to talk about big promises. I want to talk about big promises that don't fit in small boxes. Big promises don't go in small boxes. And as we think about one another relationships and influencing one another, man, we think about, it's a mustard seed, man. It's got to start small. It's tiny. So you know what? Let me plant it here in this tiny little container, and it will grow. Right? And we can take something mighty and something amazing and be like, oh, well, here I go. And plant this mighty little seed in this tiny little container. Here is my faith. Behold! Right? And God's like, what is that thing? Right? I mean, we take something incredible, right? And albeit small and not what it could be in the future, and then we put it in what we think it could be, right? And we think, yeah, it doesn't make sense. I've done that game before in elementary school. Star, star, square, square, it fits in the box, you know. You know what I mean? Like, it's a jigsaw puzzle. Look what I did, right? And if we're not careful, you know, even as we're talking about one another relationships, even as we're talking about influence, we can put influence. This is the container of influence in my life. This is all I allow for influence. Right? And God's looking. He's like, no. This is what I'm talking about in terms of influence. This is what I'm talking about in terms of transformation. This is what your life can be. Maybe not the guy with the hat and the polo, but you know what I mean? Great transformation. You know, Southern California is experiencing an invasion. Black mustard, the same mustard that is common in the Middle East here, that they would have been familiar with. Someone decided to plant it in Southern California, and now it is an invasive species growing among the hillsides and the fields out there. 9 feet tall fields. This is what mustard fields look like, untended. It's beautiful. It's glorious. You know, people who are familiar with mustard know that if you don't harvest your mustard, man, that stuff grows like a weed next year. You cannot stop it. But that's incredible to think that's what God has in store for mustard seeds. What kind of container is he looking for? You know, I think what this says is where you plant your seed reveals how big you think it will grow. What kind of container are you preparing for God's word, for the relationships in that God has put in your life? Right? What does it mean? Right? I'm not just segmenting off this little bit for God, this little bit for this discipling relationship that's meant to guide me and train me. But you know what? I'm going to buy the whole field. And I'll plant that little seed in that field. Let's see what it can do. Where you plant your seed reveals how big you think it will grow. Where are we planting our seeds? How are we treating God's relationships? You know, the transformation is so significant that God says the birds will perch in its branches. And that's meant to signify it will change the world around us. It will create new homes, new shelter, new safety. You know, and when we talk about the container that we put it in, I think sometimes we look down and we don't give God's those relationships, those moments, the time that they need to grow, the environment that they need to grow. What kind of environment are we talking about? It could be as simple as showing up early for church. We say relationships are powerful and we got to brave small beginnings. But yet, are we coming to church at a time punctual enough that we can actually say hi to somebody without interrupting the song service or the communion? I'm not trying to just hack on you about timing or punctuality. But man, if relationships are important, are we building something to allow those relationships? I want to read something to help you think about that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. It says, and this is a beautiful passage. I wish I could read you the whole chapter. To be honest, I wanted to read all of chapter 55 of Isaiah and chapter 56, but we don't have time for that. Go read those. Hebrews 11, verse 13, it says, all these people, and it's talking about this faith hall of fame, the heroes of the faith. And here it talks about them for a moment, summarizing in the middle of it. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Left, they would have operated there looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Right? And I think these people lived out this idea. They were replacing the kingdom of their life. God's replacing the kingdom of your life with the kingdom of God. And they didn't live as if they were living for a country of their own. They weren't living for the country that they left, but they were living for something greater, something better. And that's how we are to live for God's little mustard seed, the introduction of his kingdom. But the way they lived just talked about what they believed, right? They lived as if something better was coming. They welcomed it from afar, and it transformed how they lived each day. Do we allow relationships and influence to change us in that kind of way? And how do we do that? For instance, even with being on time, let's just use that as an example. Do you change everything around you to be on time? Because what grows in that moment is so important that you will not miss it. Right? What about your one-on-one relationships, the ones that call you higher to understand who you are and help you in your walk with God? Do you plan everything in your week so that time is incredible? So that you're emotionally available? So that you're listening, not distracted? Right? What about the container of where you live? Are we choosing places of work, choosing places of where we buy our homes? Because you know what? I want to put myself in a place where God's word can grow and I can be close to relationships that will influence me, will influence my family, that will influence my career. Do we make time to listen and be ready? Do we change everything around us so that this seed can grow? That's what it means to not put God's small beginnings in a box. To break out of that box. To be prepared for something else. Right? Because if we're not careful, God will deliver a mighty and incredible message that can change your life. Just like Jesus, who delivered this parable and was dismissed by the religious, dismissed by the commoner. Oh, man, he's telling farming things again. I already heard this one.
Oh, no, I already know about mustard seeds. Thanks, Jesus.
And if we're not careful, incredible moments where God wants to change your life can come your way, and you will miss them. Big promises don't go in small boxes. We gotta make sure that we're replacing these kingdoms in our lives. Right? Just like the religious, when they heard about the plant that grew into a tree with branches so broad and wide that the trees could perch in its shade. Again, reminding them of a kingdom that will replace all kingdoms. But are we replacing our kingdoms? Right? Are we taking out the authorities and the rules that are in place? The boundaries that cause a small container? And we are allowing those relationships to grow in a way that we can't even imagine. I call us as a church to grow in this area. What does that mean for you? It means sometimes making that phone call when you're tired. Right? To set up that time and to know that this time is important. This time of prayer is incredible. I need to set this time up. This time of discipling or influence or studying the Bible, this is important and nothing else will come before it. I might have to move it in the week. I might have to change it maybe earlier, but I will not miss it. Right? You know, this service, this sermon, it's not just somebody standing up here talking. Right? But God is bringing me a message and I will listen and I will not miss it. We've got to make sure that we're making time for God to deliver His message. We've got to make sure that we provide a field for Him in our life. That we clear down the fences, that we break down the barriers that hold us back, the hesitations. I think this can be troubling and challenging for many of us. Maybe because we've never seen this done before. Someone who has a life so available that when you want to set up a time with them, they'll do anything to set that time up with you. Or maybe because we've never done this before. We've never expected this level of availability from others that we're leading. We've never expected this level of humility from those we're following. And I think if these things trouble us and we get wrapped up on how's this going to work, how can I do this, how can I do that, you know what? The thing is, it's not about the logistics of how this will happen. How can I protect this time? How can I make this the most important when my work is demanding this much? How can I do this when I have no gas? How can I do this when I'm so far away from other people? These are all small complications. When something is important, you make it happen. I know this principle, right? I know it because so many examples around us. Movies that you want to watch. I'll stay up to 2 in the morning watching that Thursday night first release, right? Parties I want to attend, I'll work as hard as I can. Teens, right? Your parents are like, you got to finish your homework. Man, you're up till 3 in the morning the next day working on your homework so you can go to that party. Right? So you can go to that retreat. We can do it when things are important. When we value things enough and realize how incredible it is, we make the time for it. When your boss says, you know what? If you don't improve your performance, I'm going to fire you. Oh, boy. And we improve our performance. When things are important, we make time for it. When your wife is pregnant and she wants this particular dish, it is important. I will get it. Right? You make it happen. When she's ready to deliver, you don't care what's going on. You make it happen. You know, I'm so impressed. There are parents that I get to talk to, and I hear about the things that they demonstrate this level of importance. At risk of losing their jobs, I've heard of parents who be like, you know what? I'm so sorry. I know this project is important. I know this work is important today. I know we have this meeting today, but I cannot stay here because there's something going on with my son. I need to take care of him. I've heard of those conversations. And I think, wow, I want to be like that. All right? When something is important, when something is incredible, when we realize how big the promise is, we clear whatever it takes to make it happen. You know, God is working in ways that can be difficult to see. Again, yet when we trust His plan, God produces a result far beyond what we can imagine. We've got to be a people who brave the small things. You know, I appreciate the singles ministry. These past couple of Fridays, we've been talking about dating, right? And you think, oh man, we're making a big deal. No, this is important because it isn't about dating. It's about romance. It's about relationships. You got to take those seriously because God can work through those moments. Because in a world where dating is corrupt and selfish, right, and personally motivated and driven, we're showing and teaching each other a way to love beyond the selfishness. That will transform the world. Whether you date for romance or you date because, you know what, this is a need I see in my sister and I want to take care of her. God will work through that. You know, maybe it's in your marriage, in your life for the marrieds. And thinking, right, what, man, how can I make discipling happen? We create these false dichotomies where it's like, it's either a great marriage or a great discipling. I'm going to have a great ministry or I'm have a great marriage. Right? And we make these choices as if God was limited. God's like Deion Sanders, maybe even better, right? I want both. I'm going to have a great ministry. I'm going to have a great marriage because I have a mighty God that can do both. We got to brave those small beginnings. And sometimes those beginnings are ugly and it's rough and your wife is upset at you. Right? Or maybe you're attainable, achievable, trying to find the balance, but you know what? Keep trying. Both can be attainable, achievable, because God can work through them. We got to brave the small beginnings. Maybe you're studying the Bible for the first time right now, and things are challenging. Right? Don't give up. Keep getting together. Keep digging into the Word. And as it grows, you will see a harvest that you couldn't have imagined that could have grown from that tiny little seed. Maybe you're the only one in your school, right? And maybe you don't have a girlfriend, and all your boys do. Or maybe you're the girl, and everyone laughs at because you haven't hooked up with any guys. But you know what? God, that's a small beginning. You may, socially, in the world, that's a tiny beginning. You're a nobody if you're not dating somebody, right? You're a nobody if you haven't hooked up with somebody, right? But that's a small beginning to brave that's worth braving. And if you trust God through that, it leads to amazing things. Maybe your small seed is, it's not good things. Maybe your small seed is a dark secret that you have. And there's sin that you're like, you know what, all I have is just this really messed up secret. And you know what? Brave that small beginning. Walk into that light in that moment, and God can do some great things. Let's brave the small beginnings. And let's not put God's promises, His huge, amazing promises, in small boxes. And as we break down these barriers, and as we learn how to trust God, as we learn how to remove everything that hinders, we will see God deliver glory and power and transformation in our lives that will not only be limited to the incredible change in our own lives, but will change the world around us. We will provide safety. We will provide shade for those who need it. And we will show the world how incredible God can be and how incredible His promises can be that start from small beginnings. Amen? Amen. Amen.